Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all doing great. I was thinking of sort of like an icebreaker we could do while just were chatting there, but it was okay. I was thinking, wonder if we could all talk and end up not bringing up the weather. Because we're shocking for Brits to bring up the weather. We didn't talk about the weather. That's good. That's good. We're moving forward. We're moving forward. So my name's TMA. For those who don't know, I'm doing an internship here at Jubilee this year. And last week, we kicked off our start to our mini-series of Marks of a Disciple. Ben spoke about generosity. And this morning, I'm going to be speaking of another mark of a disciple, and that is self-control. So marks of a disciple, what does being a Christian, a believer, a disciple actually look like? So for many of you, as you'll know, I'm a footballer, I play football, and for those who know me well, throughout the year, I try and stay quite disciplined to what I eat. I try and not eat treats or desserts during the week, and then Saturday night, I have a bit of a treat. I keep myself quite disciplined, not having any chocolate or anything. But this week, the football season finishes, and I am let off the leash. Letting off the leash, those dreams of having Nando's every night, of having chocolate, dairy milk in my hand, desserts after every meal. Someone needs to keep me in control of this. But anyway, so we're going to be looking at self-control. And this morning I'm going to be talking about this battle that we have as believers with the enemy, with the devil. And we're going to look at this battle plan from both sides. So how do we know the enemy's plan? Well, how do we know the enemy's tactics? Surely that defeats the purpose of a battle. Like a battle in war, you wouldn't know the enemy's tactics. But for years, people have gone through this. People have gone before us and wrote about the tactics and plans of the enemy. Now, you may be sitting there going, Jimmy, enemy, devil, what are you talking about? Now, don't think of this as scary monsters coming up from under your bed, coming to get you or anything. But it is serious. Maybe you've gone through a temptation. I really shouldn't have that chocolate bar, but I'm going to have it. Or I really shouldn't have another drink. And we have this temptation. I really shouldn't lie about that thing in work, but it's going to get me off the hook big time. We go through these temptations. And the devil that we're fighting is watching our every move. He's watching our every action. He's watching our every word. And how do we know this? It tells us in the Bible. So I'm going to ask if you have a Bible with you this morning, if you open it to 1 Peter 5:8, it's probably towards the end of your Bible. 1 Peter 5:8. And if you don't have a Bible with you, it'll be up this morning. It'll be up on the Sky Bible behind me. And it says this, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." He prowls around. What does that mean? It means he moves around restlessly, stealthily, endlessly waiting for us to attack us as Christians. He wants us. He wants to get us. And the devil's mission. What is the devil's ultimate mission? What's the thing he has up on his wall that he touches? What is it that he writes every day to draw us as Christians as far away from God as possible? That's the devil's ultimate mission, to draw us as Christians as far away from God as possible. And he won't do it all in one go, but he'll just continue to chip away at us, to draw us as far away from God as possible. Now, the devil has tactics. He has his ways. He has plans. And I'm going to give you three examples of what some of the devil's schemes are. The first one, self-esteem. One way the devil tries to draw us as far away from God as possible is how we value ourselves, how we think of ourselves. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not hardworking enough. I'm not doing this or that. We get up and we have this attitude of, oh, I just can't be bothered for today. I can't be bothered facing that colleague at work today. I'm just not in the mood, and we just feel rubbish about ourselves. Immediately as we wake up, we think negative things. We think of ourselves negatively. And what's this doing to us? Drawing us further and further away from God and His promises. His promises that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The second example, when I was turning 18, my dad, who's here this morning, which is great, my dad and brothers and mum put together this book of men in my life who had been a good influence to me. And they wrote advice, as I was becoming a man, they give me advice in coming into manhood. And one sticks with me so much. It was an old youth leader who's now leading at another church in Chester. And he says, don't play the comparison game. Do not play the comparison game. It catches us out so much. That person's better than me. I wish I was as good as that. How does this draw us away from God? This draws us away from God because we are no longer looking to God for our value, but we're looking to other people for our value. So let's not play the comparison game. And sometimes I think it's just about, I wish I was as good at that comparing. But we can also compare the other way. See, the devil wants us to judge other people and look at other people wrongly. And what that stirs up is pridefulness. We become prideful. And again, it's just drawing us bit by bit further from God. And the third example, sin and addiction. Whether it's alcohol addiction, drugs, pornography, social media, all these things the devil has a hold on and is using to continue to draw us further and further away from God. That's his mission. That's what he wants to do. And these things that we have battles against, sometimes if we do give in, it not only has an effect on us and our spiritual life, but can have an effect on other people. For me, I was going through a battle and fell short and gave in. And for me personally, it almost took something so important away from me. All these things are schemes of the devil, his tactics to get us. He's out to get us. But Jesus says these things. Jesus says we will be attacked. He says these things in John 16:33. He says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Jesus says we will face many trials and sorrows. We will face these. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome. The devil wants to destroy us. He wants to draw us as far away from God as possible. John 10:10 says, the thief's or the devil's purpose is to draw us as far away. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He literally wants to destroy us. And one thing we must not do is underestimate him. As soon as we start underestimating him, He keeps chipping at us bit by bit, and we start not recognizing it. So we've looked at his tactics. We must not underestimate him, but we must never forget the God who's already won this war for us, the God who's on our side, the God who's fighting this battle with us and is so much more powerful than the devil and his tactics. So we've looked at the devil's plan.
What's our plan? What's our plan as Christians? People in the Bible have gone through this, have gone through temptations of the devil, and a guy named Paul in the Bible, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, wrote down to the church of Ephesus about how we can go against this, what to do, and he called it the armor of God. And I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 in the Message version, and it'll be up on the screen as well. It says, God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You are up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your word. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Three things I want to highlight here towards the end of this. And as I had this passage, I just had the passage, and then these three things popped out to me yesterday. It says, God's word is an indispensable weapon. Prayer is an essential ongoing warfare, and keep each other's spirits up. Sometimes I think, we just think in church, we need to pray, we need to read our Bible, and we need to go to church. We need to tick all these boxes. There's no boxes that God ticks at all. But this is used against the devil. This is our weapons that we use. This is a weapon that we can use. It says God's word is an indispensable weapon. We need to use that. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. And keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. We need to have fellowship with each other. Not just to have a good time and have a good laugh, but it's to keep each other's spirits up. It's to encourage one another. Keep going. Keep going. The armor of God is the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the sandals of peace. These are all armor that we need to put on. And I'm going to talk on two of them. The shield of faith. We need to have faith in this battle that we have against the enemy. We need to have faith that God has already won this war and that he is faithful and will help us through these battles. I want you to think back to a time when you just felt in awe of God. Maybe it was at a conference. Maybe it was here at church one morning. Maybe it was in your own room, in your quiet time. When you were just sat there completely in awe of the Almighty God. That God is on our side. That's the Almighty God who's on our side and is for us in this battle. The belt of truth. As I talked earlier about self-esteem and the comparison game, the devil wants to speak lies over us. Lies and lies and lies about us. But we need to hold on to the truth. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. How mighty is our God? He's high above the heavens. It actually says God can look down on the heavens. That's how mighty he is, this God who's on our side. But it's not our strength that we win this. It's on God's strength that we win this battle. So we've looked at the devil's plans. We've looked at how great our God is who's on our side. But maybe you're thinking, Jamie, in the moment, I just feel like I just crumble when I just feel tempted. I'm going to look at some practical ways, physical ways that we can fight this battle. The first one is accountability. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. I think accountability is one of the greatest things God ever made. And what it is having someone, having a brother or sister in Christ who we can talk to, who we can share our struggles with, and who are there to support us and hold us accountable. For me, last year, and still do, me and Ben have accountability. I'm able to share some of my burdens, some of the battles that I'm going through. And he encourages me. He helps me through this. Because we have God on our side. Having accountability is our responsibility, though. It needs for us to go and ask someone in a life group or here at church, you know what, I'm struggling with this, can we have accountability? It doesn't say you need to have accountability for the rest of your life then. It may just be through a battle or through a season that you need it. But we should do life with each other. God didn't intend for us as Christians to do this journey alone. He didn't intend for us to do this journey alone. He intended for us to do this journey together, alongside our brothers and sisters. So when we're going through struggles, we can put the arm around each other and go, you know what, keep going. It's going to be all right. But during these battles, if we do end up falling short of a stage or giving in, we cannot blame anyone. We cannot blame God. We cannot blame the person who we are holding accountable or who we're having accountability with. And we cannot blame the devil. We have to take responsibility ourselves because we have the choice. I'm going to ask Martin to jump up and play in the background here. Another practical way we can fight this battle is by quoting scripture and actually telling the devil where to go. Now you may be thinking, Jamie, you've completely lost the plot now. Quoting scripture and actually talking to the devil and telling him where to go, you're mad. But I am taking this, not just from my personal own experience, but from the experience of Jesus. When Jesus began his ministry, he went through the wilderness for 40 days. And while he was there, he fasted and prayed. See, Jesus was hungry, and the devil tempted him to turn a rock into bread. And Jesus replies, quoting scripture, saying, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God alone. Jesus is then tempted again. And the devil uses scripture. Sometimes he uses scripture to try and get at us, to put us down. And he says to Jesus, jump off a cliff, because sure, the scriptures say that angels will protect you. But Jesus replies saying, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. The devil tempts Jesus a final time by saying, taking him up to a high mountain and saying, he will give him all the cities that he can see. And Jesus then literally says, devil, get out of here. And the devil runs. Devil, get out of here. For me, going through battles, personally had 3 or 4 verses that I had memorized in my head. So when I felt tempted, I was able just to speak these over. Resist the devil and he will flee. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. My time here, I'm staying with a host family and they have a little boy. And me and his rooms are beside each other. And yesterday morning, as he was waking up in the morning, he just called, "Dada, Dada." And the dad came running in. And in James 4:7, it says, "Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and he will be there in no time." Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and he will be there in no time. God is on our side. A verse I think we underestimate and sometimes overlook, and I was guilty of this, I just overlooked it, is Romans 8:11. And it says, "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us. The same power that conquered the grave lives in me and you." That same power that the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. We know we have to face this battle each day, but can we have the front foot in this battle? 100% yes. As I said at the start, this war has been won, but we still face this battle every day. But can we start doing things to start our mornings on a positive note? Waking up, not letting the devil speak negative things to us to draw us away from God, but looking in a mirror and saying, "God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You, as Christians, are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's God's promise over you. If I ask the band to jump up. He says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The devil's mission is to draw us as far away from God as possible. Our mission as disciples is to have self-control. We need to tell the devil where to go. We need to remember the Almighty God who's on our side. And we need to remember that we are part of a team here. Not just a team of Jubilee, but a team of brothers and sisters in Christ across this world. That we are united together. And the band are going to sing a song here called "Who You Say I Am." And in this song, it speaks of who we are, who God says we are. It says that we are chosen, not forsaken. That God is for us and not against us. I am who God says I am. So when the devil's starting to speak lies over us, remember that you're fearfully and wonderfully made and that God is for you in this battle and not against you in this battle.